Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
If you don't know who I am, my name is Ems. Hello. Feel I ought to bow, it's that kind of weekend. It's probably about 2 years, I think, since we joined church here, so if I haven't met you yet, come and see me later. It's very nice to see you. I'm going to remove some pens, bear with me. There we go. I hope you enjoyed that. So, we're in a series today about the gifts of the Spirit, and I am going to be teaching today about the gift of teaching. Everyone say woo. Now, some of you have immediately switched off because you're like, well, I'm not a teacher. I haven't got the word teacher in my title. Blessings. Thank you, Lizzie. And I haven't got a degree in teaching, so therefore she's not talking to me. Well, you would be wrong, people, because it doesn't matter what age you are, you can still teach. So babies can still teach us something. Okay, they haven't been to university, but they can still teach us something amazing about God. Young people always teach me incredible things. Children teach us incredible things. So just turn to the person next to you and look at them. If you haven't got a person, turn around and just go, you are a teacher, okay? Now, little Jude over there. Hi, Jude. You're a teacher. Don't know if you know that yet, but you are. Now, obviously, there are some people in the world whose primary gift it is from God to teach. Now, we're not all that. Some people, that's their primary gift, but that doesn't mean necessarily formal education. It might just mean that they know Jesus really well and they're able to share him. So basically, none of you are left out of this talk. So you can't disclude, is that a word? No. It is now. You can't, you've got to include yourself in this talk. Thank you. So today I'm going to focus on three rungs of a ladder. So you know where I'm going with this talk. So can we have the ladder picture? People, there it is. So three things that I'm going to look at today is wisdom. Say wisdom. Well done. Joy. Say joy. Maybe a bit more joyfully. Joy. There we go. And transformation. Oh, wow, you really got into that one. That's great. And the best teacher that we've got, can anybody give me the right answer? Who's the best teacher that we've got? Yes, he is the best teacher that we've got. The Spirit of Jesus in the Holy Spirit lives in us. We've got God the Father around us the whole time, and we've got Jesus. So we're not on our own, are we? Now, Effie asked you earlier who your favourite teachers are and why. And I'm not going to kind of go around the room, but our favourite teachers are often those who made an impression on us. Yeah? So our favourite teachers are those who took notice of us, who kind of saw something in us and went, oh, you've got something. Yeah? So I'm going to tell you a story today about a guy called Philip. And he saw something in someone else and managed to bring it out of them. One of my favourite teachers is my mentor, Beryl. What a great name. Beryl. I love her. And I'm applying the three rungs of the ladder to Beryl. She is super wise, okay? So I go to her because she knows her Bible pretty much better than anyone else I know. And she studies it every day. Secondly, she's a joy bringer. She's scouse. She's got a great sense of humour. She's quite cheeky. She can be quite rude. I love her. And even though she's not massively mobile, you never hear her complain. She's one of those amazing people that even though she really struggles to get around, she's not a complainer. She's a joy bringer. We love Beryl. And thirdly, she's transformative in my life. And she's taught me to read the Bible in a different way than I knew before. So she ticks all my teacher boxes. Yay, Beryl. Now, I'd like you to shut your eyes just momentarily because you might not have somebody in your life called Beryl, but you will have someone who's taught you something about Jesus. So just before we carry on, I'd like you, just in your spirit, to say thank you, God, for that person? Who was that person for you? Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a leader. So thank you, God, for that person in my life. Thank you for those people in our lives who have taught us beautiful things about you. And we just raise that name before you this morning and say thank you so much for all they invested in us. Amen. So we're going to learn about Philip, and we're going to learn three things about him I'd like you to spot: the wisdom, the joy, and the transformation. And Philip, we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and I'm going to read it to you from the Nearly Infallible version, the NIV. So Philip and the Ethiopian, this is called. Now, I'll give you 2 seconds to find it. It is on screen, I think. It is a little bit small for those of you who can't see. But now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. I'm missing out one verse here. I'm going to the next verse, 34. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and, traveling around, preached the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, that is a bit of a crazy story, isn't it? And it's a lovely one for thinking about the theme of teaching. Very quick bit of context for those of you who haven't been around in this series. I'm going to do this in a paragraph, so imagine that I'm saying this at top speed. The church began in a place called Jerusalem amongst the Jews, but because of the stoning of a guy called Stephen, the Christians were really scared. And so what happened was they started to leave the confines of Jerusalem and actually go out into the wider area. And because of that, we get the gospel spreading geographically. We get it spreading in terms of different people groups. And this is the context of this passage, okay? So it's just as people are starting to go out and share. So firstly, if we go back to the rungs of the ladder, we're going to look at Philip's wisdom. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background to him now. So who was Philip? Well, he was a friend of Jesus. He loved Jesus, he knew Jesus, and that qualified him. I could actually put the microphone down and go and sit down now. So many of us, that's all we need. To know Jesus, to love Jesus, because that qualifies us. In Acts 6, we read that there was a problem with the food in the early church. So there was two groups of widows. There were groups of widows who are from the Greek background. They're called the Hellenists, so all of them are called Helen. And then we have the other people, we have the Jewish widows, and it wasn't fair how the food was being shared. And so the apostles were a bit grumpy about that. And they were like, we haven't got time to deal with this, so we're going to appoint 7 deacons. Deacons are another word for like a practical leader in the church. And so Philip was one of these seven guys who got to sort out the food. So do you know what he did? Every day, with his other six friends, he laid on a banquet for vulnerable women. I like him. He's my friend. I like the fact that that's what he did. But do you know what it says about him? He was full of the Spirit of God and of wisdom. I love that. So he's in my address book now. We like him. But he's not just wise, and he's not just someone who's good with a potato salad. He's got more to his story because he also brings joy. Acts 8 tells us that Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard him, when they saw all the things that he was doing, they paid close attention to what he said. And with shrieks, it says, impure spirits came out of people. Those who were paralyzed or lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. I don't know about you, but when I see someone get healed, it brings me great joy. When I hear a lovely story about somebody getting a job, I'm thrilled for you, mate. When someone tells a beautiful testimony, it brings us joy, doesn't it? And this impacted the whole city. Thirdly, Philip brings God's transformation. So in verse 12, we read this. When they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. So I love the fact that he is transforming people's lives. It's not just that he's a really good speaker. It's not just that he's great with people who need healing. It's not just that he sorts out the vulnerable women banquet. He actually baptizes people as well. What an amazing guy. And he's a healer, not just of someone with the odd headache, but people who can't walk. And people whose lives are completely stuck because they're paralyzed. So, he's wise, he's a joy bringer, he's a transformer. So now we're going to look at the story that I read you earlier. So, an angel of the Lord rocks up and speaks to Philip and gets a bit sat-navvy, which I love about the angel of the Lord. And I'm going to imagine the sat-nav voice coming now. This is what the angel says. Go south to the desert road. At the olive tree, turn right. Follow Jerusalem Road towards Gaza on the A167. That's basically what happened. Okay, so Philip hears the sat-nav of angel. Thank you. He hears angel sat-nav. Not sure that that's his actual name, but that's what we're calling him today. And he arrives on the desert road. Now, I don't know if it's a desert road that's full of traffic or whether there's like just one donkey. I don't know. But he's waiting for God to tell him what's next. Maybe he asked God for a sign. I don't know. But then it says, the Holy Spirit says, go to that chariot and stay near it. And so he starts to kind of jog, run towards this chariot. Now, I don't know what he's wearing. I can't run in a sandal, okay? I can't do it. I don't know what he's got on, but he's equipped to run. And then he hears this man reading the scriptures. And I don't know what language the Ethiopian is speaking in, but I'm guessing it's Greek because Philip understood him. So it's probable it's Greek, but we're not told. Now, hearing the Bible read is a dead giveaway that he's got the right chariot, isn't it? He's probably going, yes, that's it, that's the one. And he hears the bit from Isaiah, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So this Ethiopian guy is reading words written in the Old Testament about Jesus, but he doesn't know it's about Jesus because he's a Jew. So let's press pause for a little minute and let's ask the question, who's the guy in the chariot? Now, if I was doing this with children, I'd sing a little song at this point. You know, like, who's the guy in the chariot? Who's the guy in the van? Or something like that. That's what I'd do. But you're not children, so I'm not going to treat you like children. Nearly did. We got away with it. So we know he's the chief official to the queen, and her name is Candace. Now, that isn't actually her name. That's the name that they gave to all the queens in Ethiopia at that time. So it's a title, but when I looked it up, this particular Candace, like a pharaoh, was the leading woman, and she was a military tactician, she was a field commander, think kind of Boudicca clothing, she's pretty hench. Okay, but she's also generally thought to have been a Jew. Interesting. So it's probable that that's why her official is a Jew. Okay, it makes sense. And we're told that the Ethiopian eunuch has a very important trusted position as the guy in charge of all the money. Now, you're going to ask me the question of why is he a eunuch, aren't you? So I'm going to tell you. Sometimes men who were placed in the living quarters, in harems in particular, were made eunuchs, which meant they were castrated. Sorry, boys. In order to protect the women. But guess what? That word can also just mean an official or officer. So I'm going with that version for all of you. Back to the story. I reckon at this point, Philip is now running pretty hard and quite close to a chariot. And he might be a bit breathless. Depends how fit he was. If he was me, he'd be kind of reaching for the inhaler at this point. But Philip is just keeping up with this guy. Now, have we got the picture? We don't have the picture. There it is. Look, there's a picture of what they think the chariot might have looked like. Now, imagine, if you will, there's a guy reading the Bible out loud and you're running next to him. That's a bit weird. It's like, hi, you know, trying to catch somebody's attention. It's just strange, isn't it? But this is what Philip does. And he says to him, this is such a teachery question, isn't it? Do you know what you're reading? How teachery is that? It's such a direct thing, isn't it? Teachers don't have small talk, do they? They're like, where's your homework, Sean? You know what I mean? Have you done question 19, Chanel? Have you? And I think this is Philip being completely teachery. He's like, do you know what you're reading? Understand, do you? And basically, he's running next. And I love this moment. Have you ever read something out loud and then a teacher has said, so what does it mean? What did you just read? And you're like, oh, I wasn't listening to myself. I've got no idea what I just read. And I don't know whether this Ethiopian guy really understood what he was reading or whether he was just saying it. It's like when my kids ask me to help them revise. They're doing A-levels and GCSEs at the moment. And they're like, Mum, can you help me revise? And it's physics. And I'm like, okay, I can read the question. And I can tell you if it says the answer, but I can't tell you why, because I don't understand it. Now, this guy's a converted Jew. He definitely knew something about the scripture. And he'd bothered to travel a very long way. It was about 2,500 kilometers from where he lived to Jerusalem. And he'd bought himself the latest copy of Isaiah on a scroll. So he's already invested in Jerusalem, but he didn't have anyone to teach him what this particular passage actually meant. So, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go on a little journey in our imaginations. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to imagine momentarily with me that you are in a British taxi. Can you do that for me? It's a hot day. The leather seats are a little bit warm. You can smell the leather seats. Someone has left a Bible in your taxi. You think, oh, interesting. I might flip it open. So you start to read the Bible, but you decide, a little strangely it has to be said, to read it out loud. And so you start to read the Bible out loud, but then you get to a bit that you don't understand. But don't worry. Because through the open window of your taxi, you see a random person, a jogger, running past who happens to hear you at that very moment of you reading Isaiah and says, do you understand what you're reading? And you say, no, how can I? Unless you explain it to me, jogger of randomness. And so jogger of randomness gets into the taxi because that's not weird. And then explains it to you very clearly having a very long conversation which starts at the bit that you are and then flipping to Matthew and then back to Genesis and then to John 1 and then he flips around and he does all this thing. And then what happens is you see a pond and you say to the taxi driver, "Would you mind ever so kindly stopping at this pond, for I would like to be baptized by my new friend into a new religion." And then, of course, the taxi driver doesn't mind at all, stops at the pond, you get baptized by this new person into a new religion, and then the person completely disappears. And you're left quite wet, very joyful, with a wonderful Bible study to share later. See, that's what actually happened. Sometimes we can read the Bible and forget how cool it is because we kind of put it into old, you know, like language and we think about them all with their, you know, lovely outfits on and we don't make it about what it would feel like. If that happened to me, I would not be able to stop telling people about that experience, right? And nor would you. You'd walk up to me, I'd be a complete stranger, you'd be like, "How are you? Guess what happened to me today? Guess what happened, Michelle? I got in a taxi, and there was a Bible, and this guy got in and started telling me all about it, and then I got really wet in a pond." I've had a few incredible miracles, a little bit like this in my life, and do you know what? They haven't just blessed the person who's been there, but they've really blessed me. Has anyone else had that experience where God uses you? And rather than like you feeling like, "Oh, that person got so blessed, yay me, or yay God," you are crying because God chose to use you. Do you want a little story? Of course you do. I'm going to tell you a little story. Once I was just about to go to bed, and I heard a little voice in my ear, which I've learnt is Jesus' voice to me, saying, "Go to Sainsbury's in Sale." It was about 10:15 at night, maybe. And I knew Sainsbury's probably wouldn't be open, so it's a bit of a weird little thing, but it wouldn't go away, and I think I probably had my jammies on, but I was like, "Oh no, I need to go to Sainsbury's in Sale." And there's been a few times in my life where I've ignored this kind of voice, and a few times when I've gone and been wrong. So I was just like, "I'm going to go." So I turn up, it's completely dark, not a single person, and I'm like, "Oh, I got it wrong. Never mind, I'll go home, get my Horlicks, go to bed." But then I noticed some movement under the line of trolleys. And I got out the car, and I found an 18-year-old girl who'd been beaten up by her boyfriend, and she had a cut lip and bruises on her face and mascara down to her chin, and she was a complete mess. And so I brought her home, and I gave her a cup of tea, and I cleaned her up a bit, and she had a bit of toast. Had to find some white bread because she didn't do brown. And I prayed for her. And then I drove her to her nana's house because that's what she wanted me to do. Now, I didn't baptize her in the canal. I just want you to know that, okay? And I also didn't explain some of Isaiah to her. But it was a miraculous encounter nonetheless because it blessed her. But you know what? I think it blessed me even more. Because God chose to whisper that little thing to me and I listened. So it did something great for my faith. And I think this is an amazing moment for the Ethiopian, but also for Philip, because he's probably a little bit sweaty. He's been running in the desert. I don't know if you've ever run in a desert. I haven't, but I think it's probably quite hot. So I'm imagining him, you know, he's like running next to the chariot and the sand's blowing in his mouth from the horse's hooves and he's a bit parched and he's probably regretting the hummus pita that he had at breakfast. And this guy then invites him to sit in a comfy, shaded carriage. Not only that, he says, "Would you mind telling me all about Jesus?" I mean, that's a win, isn't it? It's like that moment when the friend you've been praying for 12 years just kind of casually says in conversation, "Could you take me to an Alpha course?" And you start to cry inside because you're like, "Yes, But you have to act cool, don't you? Because you haven't really been praying that hard. It's like that moment. And Philip is in this chariot, and he's going away from Jerusalem towards Gaza, which is like a 62-mile trip. So it's not like hugely convenient, but I love that because he's like, I don't mind. This is what I want to do. And he's loving this chance to have this extended, beautiful conversation. And he starts where the man is at, with what the man knows, with what the man is saying. And then he talks about Jesus, and he manages to link the suffering lamb in Isaiah, and he says, that is a picture of what Jesus did for you. Not just for me, but for you. And the guy is so excited, because for the first time ever, he realizes what he's holding in his hand. He's not just holding some dead archaeological, you know, banter. He's holding truth. He's holding his purpose in his hand. And he's so excited that as soon as he sees a deep enough puddle, he's like, let me get baptized. I was talking to my dad the other day, and my dad, he's old school, and he was telling me that he first preached this sermon from an older version of the Bible, and what he said, what it says in the old version of the Bible is, what hindereth me from being baptized? I love the fact that we get the wisdom of Philip, which leads to the joy, which leads to the transformation. And it's so interesting that he chose to read from Isaiah, because if he carries on reading in Isaiah, guess what he's going to find? These incredible words in Isaiah 56. It says this, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me, there's the word I needed earlier, from his people. Let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. So did you know this morning that God is not excluding you? It doesn't matter who you are, he counts you in. And you might call yourself a dry tree, and you might say, well, I've got no hope, and there's nothing happening in my life, and I don't have work, and I don't have this situation. And you might list a whole massive group of things of why you don't think God is working out for you. And what he says to you is this, I will give you an everlasting name. Notice it's the eunuch who calls himself the dry tree. It's not God who says, yeah, I agree, you're dead dry. He says, no, I'm going to give you an everlasting name. So at this time, Christianity hadn't yet made it to Ethiopia. This guy was the pioneer. And the Holy Spirit saw to it that he had firsthand teaching from Philip, who we've already decided is pretty cool. He knows his onions, quite literally. Come on. And also, he's just a brilliant person for this person to meet. He has wisdom, joy, and transformation. And as soon as they come up out of the water, the Bible says that Philip disappeared and found himself in Azotus. Now, that's pretty cool. Kind of teleportation, Bible style. But just in case you think this only happens in the Bible, years ago, my dad was at Bible college with a family called the Saunders family, and they were missionaries in Rio in Brazil. And I can remember having a conversation with them one day where they told me a story about a lady who this happened to. So she arrived in a place just after having been in another place that was geographically impossible for her to have got to. And they told me this story as though it was completely normal. Okay, this lady was called Edgy Mayer, and she routinely traveled from town to town, village to village, without there being any time in between. And once, it was across water. So, we know in the Bible that Jesus did this, and we know Philip did this, and we also now know that Edgy Mayer did this. So Philip finds himself in Azotus, and he continues preaching and settles in the town of Caesarea. And we next find out about Philip 20 years later when Paul turns up to visit him. And it says, Philip is now an evangelist. And he has four unmarried daughters who all prophesy. Yes, he does. So he encouraged women in their ministry. And even if he didn't teach his girls to prophesy, he allows them to prophesy, which in that day is pretty amazing. So he encourages women on their journey. He helps them in their ministry. He cares about what they're eating. He teaches. He preaches. He does amazing things. And then he teaches this Ethiopian guy. So did it work? Did he manage to share the gospel in such a way that that guy then went back to Ethiopia and shared it? Well, I did a little bit of research, people. Do we have the picture of the Bible, the man carrying the Bible? Here is the oldest complete Bible in the world, which was discovered in an Ethiopian monastery in 2016. Okay? It's 800 years older than the King James Version of the Bible. It was found to be carbon dated at the year 330. It contains all 66 books of the Bible and pictures. What a bonus. But in all seriousness, guys, that's crazy, isn't it? Secondly, I did some research about the religions at the moment in Ethiopia, and 67% of the people in Ethiopia claim Christ. So whatever this man did, he must have shared when he got home. So what is this story all about, and what's God wanting to say to us today? Well, there's four things that I'd like us to think about, and maybe you can respond to one of these four things. Firstly, maybe you know that you've got the gift of teaching, and you've known that since you were little, and you just love a fresh anointing of God's wisdom and joy and power, because maybe you've been running next to the chariot for a while and you're a bit tired. So that could be you. Secondly, maybe you're someone who you know is called to the marketplace where the people are lame and paralyzed and sick, and you want to bring healing and joy. You want to bring joy to the city. So maybe that's what you need to respond to today. Or thirdly, maybe you long for a miraculous encounter, and you've never heard the voice of God telling you to do something a bit bonkers, like run next to a chariot or look under a trolley. But you would love to hear God in that way. And you want to be sent out. Or fourthly, and this is perhaps the most important one of them all, you have disqualified yourself in this season. And you've disqualified yourself. You've disqualified yourself from being joyful in this season. Or you've disqualified yourself from the dream that you had a long time ago because you haven't seen it happen. Or you've disqualified yourself from ever having a family because it hasn't happened yet. Or you've disqualified yourself from being a senior lecturer, which is your dream. Or from owning a care home. Or being a GP. Or running your own business. Or starting that charity, or writing that play, or working in prisons. And there's a very specific word that I had this morning. There is somebody here who has got a dream, and it's very specific. You want to start a tea room that has a bookshop and counseling. And you've disqualified yourself from that because it hasn't happened. There's another sense of disqualification this morning, that you might have disqualified yourself from belonging to God's family because you have questions about the church. You've disqualified yourself from ever having enough money because you're really anxious about your finances. Or you've disqualified yourself because you live in anxiety and you don't ever believe that you will be free from that. So I have a word for you. It's from Isaiah. And the word says, the Lord will not exclude you. You are not a dry tree. You are not disqualified. It just might be that you're in the middle of your story and not at the end. So to those of you who feel as though life has not happened the way you wanted, it's okay. Because your life isn't done yet. And there's beautiful things that are coming for you. Because can I tell you something? When that Ethiopian left Jerusalem to go to Gaza, he did not expect a Bible study from a guy running next to him. And yet that changed everything for that guy. So much so that 67% of that country today still believe in Jesus. That they have the oldest Bible in the world.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.